At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
To the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
We're reconsidering everything right now. What is time post-COVID? What is truth in Trump's America? Is You've Got Mail secretly a movie about a creepy gaslighting stalker? We can't answer the first two questions, but we have opinions about the third. We on Hot and Bothered are revisiting romance movies of the past and asking, what were these movies teaching us? What did we not even realize they were teaching us? Hot and Bothered is me, Vanessa Zoltan, a pop culture critic and nice lady with opinions, and Hannah McGregor, a bona fide professor of media studies, loving love stories, and also just a little bit concerned. Come listen to Hot and Bothered.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I am your guest for Keeping It Real on Purpose, the place where we talk to real people about real things all the time, in real time, all on purpose. And today, we're with an amazing guest, Jacqueline Heller, and she's an author, and she's going to talk about her book, Yesterday Never Sleeps. So welcome to the show, Jacqueline.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Edna. Thanks for having me.
Great. So tell us how you show up in the world as the author of Yesterday Never Sleeps.
Well, I wrote this book organically. I wasn't planning on writing a book. I mean, I've authored articles because I'm a doctor, I'm a psychiatrist, I'm a medical doctor, and I'm a psychoanalyst, and I'm board certified in neurology and psychiatry. So I've written things academically and otherwise, but my mother wrote a memoir, and my mother had a very interesting story and was an interesting person. So when she died, it was right before COVID, so they kind of blended together, but I was very grief stricken. You never get over losing your mom. There's no such thing as permanent closure. And I found that writing anything was very cathartic. But I actually responded to a letter in my family about something that happened. And I responded to that, and my niece wrote back to me, and she said, this is so amazing what you're telling me about grandpa, because I didn't know these things. And so many more things make sense to me now. So it sort of highlighted for me that connecting to your roots and to your heritage and to your family history is very important, because we carry things on, we carry things forward, especially things we don't want to. for love or not, right. whether you love your kids or yeah. not, we screw them up and we pass on some of our stuff. So, I was very touched by that. And she said, could you keep writing? So I finished this chapter about my dad, and then I wrote one about my mom. And within a few months, I'd written a memoir. But I was not happy with it, because I thought, if I'm going to do something with this, at first it was just for my family, you know, just the family story. And I just heard you talking about that with another guest, you know, writing your story for your kids and your grandkids, so they know where you came from. Because I'm first generation American in my family. My parents were Holocaust survivors in Poland. So I came from, you know, devastation. And, you know, being the first American was a lot of pressure to kind of the hope for the future and a new beginning and all of that. Mm-hmm. So my memoir goes into all that, and it goes into my family history. And because we have a lost generation, I was especially interested in reviving whatever I can and unearthing whatever I could. That's the personal aspect of where I come from. And then professionally, you know, I feel like it's very important for people to understand how necessary it is to go inward. Meaning to know how you feel, to know your emotions, and to be able to think about them, because too many people just point outward and point the finger and blame other people, and are, you know, and they need to spend more time going inward. And I think we'll be a lot better off, because we don't know ourselves as well as we think we should, you know. So that's kind of the in a nutshell.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I do agree that we don't go inwardly a lot. We ask a lot of questions outwardly, and we get a lot of misnomers and misinformation from other people that thwart our way to live in general. So I agree with that. Number two, I agree with that the traumas that we have, we give them to our children, whether we know it or not, but when we know better, we do better. We kind of like can make corrections. So I like that part. Talk about, you know, the part that you talk about integrating life's current and past connections. Talk about that.
Okay, I'll try to not take 20 minutes to do it. But so, you know, we all have bugaboos. We all have hidden hurts. We all have things that we repress that we don't want to remember because it's too painful. And we all have a deep unconscious mind, an inner mind that we can't access very easily. In fact, our unconscious, you know, rules about 90% of what we do, our thoughts and actions. We don't know what we're doing, or we don't think that we're not conscious of it. That's, and the reason is because if I spend my day thinking about how am I going to get out of this chair, I have to lift my right thigh, my left thigh, my right foot. You know, if I have to think about each thing we do, we wouldn't be able to function. And secondarily, if I have to remember every horrible thing that happened to me, getting nearly raped and killed, or having terrible, you know, family history of survivorship, or, you know, hazing in medical school or whatever it might be, or my terrible first birth, you know, I mean, we all have things. And so you don't want to think about those things, because you'd be too upset all the time. So my goal is to help people go inward by labeling their emotions, understanding their emotions, which a lot of people can't do. I mean, you could say to me, Jackie, how do you feel today? And people say, I don't know. And so basically, you know, people react with hair trigger, you know, knee-jerk reactions, and they react and they act before they think. And and it's very important to be able to think about what's going on and decide, is this making sense for the context or not? So that's kind of what I demonstrate in my academically. I do a lot of writing about that in the book, and I write about lots and lots of stories, because that's how we live to tell stories. And then there's my personal memoir, where I demonstrate the necessity of having a life story. We all have to have a life story, from beginning to middle to current, ongoing, updating it all the time for context and for where we are today, and know our parents and our history, but make sure it's good for us and it works for us, and we're not inheriting things, you know, they're not inheriting their baggage that's bad for us.
Right.
So that's kind of so integrated.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Is basically, and if you do that, if you learn to develop a part of yourself that can look inwards at your emotions, which basically are physical. Like, you know, like if you let's say you're driving and someone flips you off because you started to go into their lane and they go nuts and mm-hmm. then they're yelling at you and you realize that I didn't do anything, you know, and that person may have road rage because of things that have nothing to do with you. Maybe he was humiliated or she was humiliated right. as a child. And they feel like you're trying to show them up, you know? So we do all kinds of things. We blame all kinds of people for all kinds of things. So we don't read people properly. And so basically, you know, if we go inward, we know ourselves, then we can know other people. Otherwise we can't set a boundary between ourselves and others.
Yeah. So you're on the same, I guess, realm that I'm on today, because we're talking about, you know, working on my inner self and being so very clear with yourself so that you don't triggers, like someone like at the office, or smirk or something, and you think they're smirking at you and it's not even about you. You take it on and you get triggered by that when you're not resolving past traumas. So I know in your book, you talk about mindful self-reflection, and that's where I am right now. Mm-hmm. Is mindful self-reflection, because that kind of gives me a peek into, or actually a view into, you know, what makes me tick. And a lot of times is that we don't know what we want and who we are. What would you say to guide someone into that realm of what we want and who we are?
Well, I think first we have to understand and believe and accept the fact that we are mammals, we're animals, and we're not as smart and we're not as knowledgeable about ourselves as we think. Our world has gotten so so insane with marketing and media and stuff and the internet that people don't even trust their instincts anymore. They don't trust their experience. And this, of course, COVID and being masked didn't help, because we lost physical contact. We lost touch with our sensations, seeing people, you know. I mean, I saw people every day for 2 years until I saw their mask off. I would not have recognized them on the street. And kids have lost the ability to recognize expression. So you made a very good mm-hmm. comment about you know, the smirk on someone's face, because we're mm-hmm. Our brain is born with templates that are built in, like a baby looks at their mom and they coo and they smile because they recognize a smile, they recognize happy. We're born with emotions mm-hmm. like joy, sadness, anger, fear. Right. Those we're born with, so that we're born, we recognize those. So you understand certain things that you take with you ordinarily, you know. So if you're walking down the street and the guy's ogling you from across the street, you don't know why he's staring at you. Like, why is he staring at you, right? You don't know, because you don't know him. That's where we need to get more sophisticated. We need to check in with the other person, you know, and try to be curious about them. I mean, not talking about a stranger, but the people that we want to have good connections with. So basically doing all that self-reflective stuff, it totally changes your brain. I mean, it makes it increases the connections from the front of the brain all around the cerebral cortex, and it makes for the things that make the high brain, the upper brain, work well. Mm-hmm. It makes us rational, reasonable. You know, we can learn to sequence, we can forecast, we can predict things. So it's really important for those higher cognitive functions. And that's been shown, neuroscience shows that that's the case. It's not just good for our spirit, and it's not just good for the brain's connections. It's good for longevity. It's good for, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it, you know. So it's brain exercise.
Right.
So that's very important, because that might motivate people. So I would say, you know, consider this the best habit you can form. I mean, besides for physical exercise, probably the best thing you could do, physical exercise is the best thing for your brain too, but the best thing you could do for your life, for your connections, for your relationships, for becoming a kinder person to yourself and others is to start practicing, which is in my book, all the exercises are there, but to start practicing thinking about, you know, relaxing yourself, because we can control our breathing. And when you control your breathing, you relax your whole nervous system. and let think about whatever it is that comes to mind, and let go with those thoughts, go with those thoughts and see where they take you. But most important is to recognize the physical sensations, the little shifts from moment to moment every day.
Right.
At first you have to concentrate on it. For me, it's automatic. So, you know, if I came home, if I came home from lunch and I say, I feel, and I notice that there's a shift of my mood from one minute to the next, I was happy to see my friend and something happened. I feel rejected or I feel crestfallen. I feel upset. And I think, what happened? Well, she said my haircut wasn't nice, but the good thing about my bad haircut was that it'll grow back. And I thought that made me feel bad. So, you know, it's a backhanded compliment. So if I realize that, then I can think, well, why, who cares about that? And I'll think, well, maybe I was done. Maybe something happened. So those are little things, but those little things in the day that where your mood shift, you start paying attention to those. And then the connections start coming to your past, to your history. It's like being on the internet and you're reading an article and there's a hyperlink. And there's one hyperlink and they keep going and going, infinite connection.
Right. That's a good example. Good example. That's great.
So I would say I would say know yourself before you know. Aristotle said, you know, the beginning of all wisdom is knowing yourself. There's no wisdom unless you know yourself.
How about that one? Yeah.
You know, it's really true.
When you think of skyrocketing brands like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, it's easy to credit their success to great products, sleek branding, and brilliant marketing. But here's the overlooked secret. The real magic lies in the engine behind the scenes, the business powering their business. For millions of brands, that engine is Shopify, making selling seamless for them and shopping effortless for us. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Aloe Yoga uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/retail to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/retail.
You have to know yourself. I know for sure, you know, nothing sparked for me until I knew what I wanted. Nothing sparked for me until I knew who I was without repeating something that someone else told me, you know, nothing sparked for me, you know, and I was able to stand in my own power, which is it was monumental for me. A child, childhood sexual abuse survivor to thriver. It was very difficult, you know, to stand in my own power. It took me a long time to kind of stand in my own power. Now I'm standing in my own power like never before, and stating things that I thought I would never be able to state as a human being, you know. And I know that's important, you know.
Of course.
Standing in your own power. We talked earlier about, you know, parenthood and every, you know, parenthood, generational things, coming connections from the past. You wrote something in your book about the good enough parent. Can you share a little bit about that with the audience?
Well, you know, I can't tell you how many parenting workshops and classes I've done. And mostly I've done mostly like teenagers and, you know, middle school, like, you know, the tough years, you know, like 12, 18, when the kids are in high school, middle school and high school. And that's a time when kids are becoming independent, they're becoming autonomous, they're forming their identity. Who am I? What am I? Am I he, she, we, they, you know, what's going on? And everything is changing in their bodies and their minds. And the world really needs to be pretty stable for them, ideally.
Right.
And so I can't tell you how many parents I have who start off the session or the question with, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know if I'm doing this right. And there's so few things that are right and wrong in parenting. And besides for abuse of a child and neglecting them morbidly, I mean, you can't make too many mistakes if you love your kid. And if you love your kid, by good enough, I'll tell you, I'll qualify that in a second, because there's actually numbers that go with that. But if you really love your kid, there's always room to repair a rupture. When you have an argument and you repair it well, the relationship deepens, the bond gets better.
Yeah.
And so good enough parent is a parent that's curious about their child from the minute they're born. They see wonderment in them. A good enough parent knows their own emotions, so they don't blame their kids for their own baggage. A good enough parent is self-reflective. And this is borne out in attachment theory. I'm not making this up. This is like socially scientifically proven that a good enough parent is sympathetic, is empathetic, and understands their child's temperament, understands how they came out. We all come out with our own. Some are more nervous, some are less nervous, some are easy to love because anything goes, right. They're smiley, they're happy. Some are slow to warm up, but they get there. And some are just impossibly fussy and difficult, just a general range. And of course, the range, right. it continues. So a good enough parent is someone who's just stable, steady, nurturing, consistent love, consistent attention. That's it. It's like the way you would treat, it's the way animals treat their young, And when people say, well, I don't know if I should breastfeed or not breastfeed, I have to go to work. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right thing is. Just do what you feel. Do what you feel you need to do for yourself and for your family. If it doesn't work for your family, although it may be healthier, it's not going to work. If it doesn't work for you, it's not going to be good for your kid. And a fact is what's been studied is that one person, it doesn't have to be the actual parent, one person is consistently loving and kind for 20, 30 hours a week. That's enough. That's enough for resilience. That's enough. That's enough to do well. That's enough. That's enough to have, to grow up with autonomy, with a sense of self, with identity, and to do well.
Wow. I didn't know.
It's
good.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's about right. 20, 30 mm-hmm. hours a week. I mean, I learned that long time ago. It was like a good factoid, but I don't remember where I read it or where I learned it, but I learned it long ago and it's come up over and over again. And Bruno Bettelheim is a famous psychologist who wrote a book called mm-hmm. The Good Enough Parent. And, everyone thinks they have to be perfect and they've got to hover around their kids and do, or it's all or nothing, So it's very difficult right now.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. Audience, this is really, really good stuff. And I'm learning something as you're talking about this, because my specialty is trauma, because I'm recovering generational trauma as well. And I love talking about the aspects of what it does, what it really impacts in your life, because I know it impacted me. Like greatly on levels that I didn't think it would, it impacted
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely, I
did,
believe you.
Yeah,
I believe generational really trauma is intense.
Yes, it is intense. It's like an onion. I talk about it like an onion. When you peel an onion, literally you peel it. You never stop peeling and you're crying at the same time.
That's a whole generational trauma is a huge topic. The inherited effects of trauma are a huge subject, but it's worth talking about because people don't realize that and this is a social comment, this is not individual, but for the individual, mm-hmm. if you lose a generation or you've been subjugated or you've been tortured or your people have been murdered, these are unspeakable things.
Right.
If you're a victim of oppression, whether it's it's Rwanda or whether it's Sudan or whether it's the Holocaust or whether it's slavery, these are all horrible things. Right. And most social calamities are man-made. Most calamities, we have natural disasters, we have hurricanes, we have earthquakes, but most bad things are man-made, and these things they reverberate emotionally, mentally, and physically. Physically, there are inherited changes that can be seen, over generations when you look back. So it's very, very important. And if we don't know, I almost called the book Incest Begets Incest, because I wanted to have a shock value to understand that we really need to break the cycle. And there's no breaking the cycle unless we know ourselves and we take responsibility. And the more you know yourself, and the more you connect your dots and you fill out the puzzle of your life, because there's so many people who aren't sick, They don't have a mental, they don't have a psychiatric disorder, but they don't feel good. Mm-hmm. Something wrong. Yeah. They don't get the way they feel. Yeah. They don't get something. They're missing something, or they're anxious, or they're down, or they're depressed, and they don't know why. And it's not necessarily a biological problem. They feel empty. Mm-hmm. They feel a void. They feel like there's something missing.
Right.
As an example, or right, they're terrorized, right, like I was, or they're afraid and they don't know what they're afraid of, you know? Mm-hmm. So those things.
Yeah, that, it's a big component.
It's a whole big component. It's another story.
Yeah. Yes, it's, you know, I always say it's worth having the conversation. And that's what, you know, my show is all about, is having those conversations, you know, around books or whatever. And I know that you've compiled some of your own experiences within this book.
The second half.
What did you mean by liberation 55 years later?
You mean talking about the dream chapter? Well, dreams are the royal road to the unconscious, to quote Sigmund Freud. I mean, dreams really get you close to your inner world. And there's enough scientific neuroscience data that shows you that dreams are an expression of what we tamp down, of what we don't want to know about. And we should pay attention to our dreams. And it's hard to learn how to interpret them, but you can if you go with your emotions, you understand things come up. So that chapter was about it's about dreams, getting connected to yourself and your deeper self. Okay. And it took me 55 years to get over, completely recover from a dream that haunted me since I was 5. And some people say it's the most interesting chapter of the book, because it's kind of, because there aren't that many kids that keep him. I kept a mental diary. I wouldn't write anything down, but I kept a mental diary for years. And that's a result of epigenetic familial trauma. That's directly relates to my parents being survivors and needing to flee and needing to remember, either carry things that were portable and get ready to run any minute. So they kept everything in their head. And I didn't want to write anything down in case the Nazis got me and they killed me. And, you know, the world would read my diary like Anne Frank, or they'd burn burn the books or whatever. So I kept everything in my memory, which is also a direct result of being my parents' child. This dream I had when I was 5 haunted me on and off till I was 60. I mean, really. It haunted me for decades, because it was so embedded in my family lore, in my family history, and in being Jewish, you know, for centuries of things showed up in this dream. So I say liberation 55 years later, because it was close to the liberation of the concentration camps. It was kind of the idea. Liberation comes up, and freedom comes up in my book a lot. So that was a reference to being liberated from this carrying, haranguing nightmare that I had when I was 5 years old. And I'm still making connections to it, even though when I finally figured out what it was about completely, it never bothered me again. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was 55. I don't know how long ago it was, but it hasn't bothered me in years.
Right. Wow. So that's good information. You know, audience, that's really good information to know, because don't ignore your dreams. Because I know when I dream, I'm always writing it down. So if I can remember it, like the moment I remember it, I'm writing it down, trying to interpret what is this about? What emotion was I feeling before I went to bed? You know, what was going through my mind? What am I dealing with emotionally? Because usually emotionally something does, portray itself in the unconscious.
I mean, yesterday never sleeps means that yesterday isn't even past, because the past is present. Because if you don't resolve these things that are painful, constant press for them to come up. And when there's something in the day that can attach itself to that bit of you that's hurting, but isn't resolved and is giving you symptoms of depression or anxiety, free-floating anxiety, then you make those connections, and sleep and dreams are meant to do that. I mean, they actually are meant to help you clear and deal with your emotions, because intense emotion is what gets us. The intense emotion in the limbic system and the amygdala, it's a part of the brain that is the seat of intense emotion, raw emotion. And that's where painful, terrible experiences get stored. And getting a hold of that's a big deal. I mean, we have to learn to get a hold of that and tame it. And we can, but we have to go inward to do it. It's not going to help to blame other people.
No. You said so much good information that I know my audience is going to love, and more so to go and pick up Yesterday Never Sleeps. Where can they find your book?
Well, the book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and any bookstore, any your favorite bookstore, Walmart, Kmart, Books is a Million. I mean, it's kind of available anywhere. And you can find out anything about me that's out there on my website, which is JacquelineHeller.com.
Wonderful. So what is the last thing that you would tell my audience about something that has to do with this book that could really take them through the week?
I would say, you know, you don't have to be in therapy to do better, to get to know yourself better. And if you're interested in the mind, and if you're interested in how you are, the way you are, how you got to be the way you are, start going inward with some mindful reflection. They're easy exercises, and let yourself go and wander and see where it takes you. And there are exercises on how to become better communicator. And they're all related to the same thing, to increasing your reflective function and your ability to think about how you feel. Once you think about how you feel, then you have a narrative, then you have a story that's works for you. Inheriting your parents' story is fine to a point, but you have to be able to tell their story and then say, that's their story, but my story is layered differently because I'm me, I'm not them. Right. So you can pass down their stories, but keep in mind that you're annotating them for your context. And it's much, much very important to do that, especially if you don't want to repeat bad history, you know? So that's what I would say. We need to realize we don't know as much as we think we do about ourselves. And it's a work, it's a lifelong work, but it's worth it. And yes, it's free and anyone can do it. Yeah. That's what I would say.
That's a good one. That's a good one just to remind everybody. It's free. Everybody can do
it. You can do it on your own time when you want to. And you can mentally practice. You can mentally practice having a conversation. Repeat a conversation in your head and have a mental thing, a dialogue. Look in the mirror and see your expression. Are you were you smirking or not? You know, we don't see ourselves.
Right. That's good.
Lots of exercises. There's lots of things to learn.
Yeah, always. That's really
It's easy, but like anything good, nothing said, everything takes practice, and anything that deals with the brain and the emotional system takes practice. It takes practice. And the more you practice, the bigger the neuroplasticity, the bigger the bundles get, the healthier your neuroimmunoendocrine system is, and your blood pressure gets regulated. Your autonomic nervous system gets regulated. So it's basically, it's all good.
Yeah, it's very good.
You can't go
wrong. Thank you. We thank you, Jacqueline. This has been really enlightening to me, and I know to the audience. This is Edna White and my guest, Jacqueline Heller, saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
When you think of skyrocketing brands like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, it's easy to credit their success to great products, sleek branding, and brilliant marketing. But here's the overlooked secret. The real magic lies in the engine behind the scenes, the business powering their business. For millions of brands, that engine is Shopify, making selling seamless for them and shopping effortless for us. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Aloe Yoga uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/retail to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/retail.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, everybody, I'm Naomi Ekperigin.
And I'm Andy Beckerman.
We're a real-life couple and a real-life couple of comedians. And we're the hosts of the podcast couples therapy.
We're the only comedy relationship podcast ever. Yeah, I said it. And we're so good, we've been written up in both the New York Times and we made Grindr's list of top podcasts.
Yes, we're giving you that high-low appeal. Trust. On the show, we talk to guests like Bob the Drag Queen, Angelica Ross,
Bowen Yang, Janelle James, Danny Pudi, Darcy Carden, Paul F. Tompkins,
and more. All about love, mental health, and everything in between. And we answer your relationship questions. We are two unlicensed comedians just trying to help you out.
So open your hearts, loosen your butts, because we got a lot of laughs
and a lot of real talk just for you.
Download Couples Therapy wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BVJobs to 97211 to apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.